Laughing Eyes Kennel presents The Gypsy Musher with Iditarod and Yukon Quest veteran Hugh Neff. The Gypsy Musher will share stories from the trail, fortune-telling, and memories of mushing years past. Follow The Gypsy Musher on Twitter and visit our website at gypsymusher.com.
Welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forteau, and you're listening to the Gypsy Musher Show here on Dogworks Radio. I am calling in from Willow, Alaska, and in the high great Andes Mountains is Hugh Neff calling from Spain. Hugh, how's it going?
This is Spain.
Good. Hanging out with my friend Tony Rolf. And Tony, where are we right now?
We are at Hello, Alaska. Now we are in Catalonia area. We are up in the mountains, a station called La Molina. And we are now in a very nice place owned by our masher, our friend and masher, called Marcel Rocias.
And Marcel is a Finnmark slow-pit musher as well. Robert, can you hear us okay?
Yes. Yeah, you sound fine. That's fine, yeah. You. So tell us a little bit about Marcel.
He's done the Finnmark Slope shorter race twice, and he's participated in the longer race twice. We've actually used some of the same dogs and from a guy named Shell Brennan from Norway, and really beautiful dogs. We just got done doing some runs with Tony. Tony, I met through the mushing grapevine, and he's our Sherpa for this visit to Spain. He showed us his place last night where he keeps his dogs at a different ski chalet, and we're at probably about 7,000 feet up here. The funny thing is, Robert, we pull in here, and there's a girl here, and she goes, oh, another Alaskan's here, and she's biking here from, where did you bike from, Germany? From Munich today, and she actually lives in the Anchorage area. So what a small world.
Wow. That is a small world. So what type of mushing goes on there in Spain? Is it primarily on sleds, dry land, or what?
Go ahead, Tony.
Well, in Spain, we almost all the time we have to run on dry land, because there is not many snow, just between 2, 3, 4 months maximum per year, and just up in the mountains. Most of us don't live up in the mountains, so we almost do everything in dry land. We normally use, as you and your cat, trikes or carts or quad or whatever with wheels, but we cannot go on the and maybe 20% of the time that we can mash here.
Well, as you know, Robert, it's starting to sound like Alaska. These guys are having to deal with the global weather change issues here too, but I feel like I'm in the outside of Thun, Switzerland or something. We're way up high here. It's a beautiful country. In fact, Robert, the fella that won the mountain marathon race last year is from this area.
Cool. Interesting. So, Hugh, tell us about the dogs. What type of dogs are these guys using? Are they using Alaskans, the Eurohounds, Siberians, what?
Well, Tony's dogs are primarily Sibes, and he's got a boxer. So he's got a cool kennel, though. He's got a kennel with smaller kennels within it when he feeds and when he's doing different training. But all the dogs of your find fascinating because most of the people are having them in packs up to 15 to 20 dogs that are, you know, playing with each other and getting along, which is pretty cool to watch. Marcel, on the other hand, has more Alaska husky dog. I was surprised. I was expecting to see a lot more hound dogs up here. Miguel, who had to leave, he had to go back to Barcelona. He has more of a hound style dog like Rosalita or Cohiba. Some of the dogs that I got, the George Atla German Shorthair mixes. But definitely nice dogs, well-trained. These guys know what they're doing. It'd be really cool to see them in the Quest or Iditarod sometime. But you can imagine it's quite a feat to travel with so many dogs overseas to Alaska to race.
Right.
Robert,
so Hugh, where are they getting
Tony. I want to add some.
Go ahead.
Look, in Spain, almost everybody races in sprint. All the races are between 5 and 10 kilometers. There's few of us that can try to compete and run distance with distances
right.
in kilometers about maybe 30 and 60 per day. But it's very, very complicated here to practice the long distance. I mean, there's just 3 or 4 mashers in Spain, in the whole country, that can do that and that can go out for long distance races in Norway or Finland. But almost everybody here is racing on sprint, you know?
It's right. pretty
yes.
cool,
yes.
though,
yes,
Robert. These guys really love dogs, and they're definitely well-organized with what they're doing here. I'm actually doing a race in Hamburg, Germany next weekend, believe it or not, a Dryland Championship race. Very cool. So, Hugh, where do these guys get their dogs from? Are they buying them from mushers in Scandinavia, or are they getting them from over here in the States? Where are they coming from? Scandinavia primarily.
Okay.
And there's some mushers around here that have, like Marcel, that have done the Finnmark and races such as this. But they've done fairly well primarily because the dogs are training at such a high elevation.
Right.
It would be cool to see more racing down this way. There used to be a race called the Purina. A little bit about that race.
About Purina, it was the race that has around 15 years. It was 2 weeks. Every day it was about 30, 40 kilometers. And it moved through the mountains. So each day or every 2 days, we have to take all the stop and stick out and move the vehicles and go to another ski station and afterwards another ski station. So in the end, you run in between 10 and 12 ski stations. But four years ago, there were no more money and the sponsors could not afford that anymore. So they decided to stop. And by the moment, there's no more additions for Pirena. And about dogs, we almost all of us get them from Germany or Norway or Sweden or Finland. I mean, it's Scandinavian. It's very complicated to bring dogs from Alaska. Even some of us have even gone with their dogs for some short competitions in Alaska.
Okay. So, Hugh, that race that he's talking about there, that sounds very similar to the to the stage stop down there in Wyoming, right?
Similar to like the El Parade, or there's another race called the La Grande Odyssey. There's definitely going to be a point in time where we as all mushers are going to have to start figuring out how to do more dry land racing. That's why I'm really fascinated about the race I'll be doing in a place called Struan, which is outside of Hamburg. It's a short race. I think I'm running 10 dogs. But it goes through an animal park, so that should be quite interesting to be racing dogs where there's, you know, local wild animals running around, sort of like hanging out in Tokyo. You know how it is.
Right. Well, you know, speaking of that, Hugh,
yeah, but it's,
just this past weekend, they did the dry land races here at Chugiak, and those are put on primarily because there's no snow down here anymore. And everybody's wanting to race, so they figured they had to start a dry land series down here just so they can fill their calendar with the race club. So I think, yeah, it's going to become more and more common, even here in Alaska, that we see more dry land racing. And for, you know, distance mushers, that's a big change in how we do things, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all about exercising the dogs and enjoying life more than, you know, just having the conditions that the humans want.
Right. So, Hugh, can you tell us about where you at in terms of geography? So are you in western Spain now? How far are you for some landmarks for folks that are listening that, that can kind of get an idea? Like how far are you from Madrid or Barcelona?
So we're about a five-minute drive from France, actually. We're about an hour and a half north of Barcelona.
Okay.
Look, Robert,
what's the weather
now in area called Catalonia.
Yeah, they're in Catalonia, which is just outside of Spain.
Okay. So what is the weather like this time of year in terms of temperature? In degrees instead of Celsius.
Yeah, let me do this.
Yeah.
We know the Americans don't understand this. So it'd be 60-ish, somewhere in there. But the wind is really good up here, so we just did about a 15-minute run. I'm going to post some video here in a little bit. But it's all in the trees, and, you know, but the drop-offs are, you know, you grew up and lived in Colorado, so you know it's a steep drop-off. But really nice country up here, but it's more like a sandy type of texture to their ground. If you remember any of those old Clint Eastwood westerns, the spaghetti westerns, something similar to that.
Right. And how do the how are the spectators for mushing there? Do they understand it like we do here in the States, or is it sort of foreign to them?
Well, the truth is that many people don't even know what a musher is. When you say, "No, I'm a musher." They say, what's that? Well, I have a dog's team, and they race with sleds, and so, okay, now I know I've seen it on that famous race, or I've seen it on the movies. There's many few people that practice that sport here up in Spain, because it's, in general, a pretty warm country, so we have really, really problems to practice that sport, and it's not very, very well known, you know?
Right. So what do you guys feed your dogs over there? Are you feeding primarily dry kibble, or is it raw meat? What are you feeding your sled dogs?
Well, you know that it depends, I think, everywhere in the world on the musher, on what he believes is the best, or even what he can afford. Most of us, we use dry food. I don't know how you call that.
Kibble.
Okay. And then we add some, I mean, my experience, for instance, it's to add some chicken or fish, but just when I'm, after I train, you know, as a premium, more than part of his diet. And then I also use some vitamins and so, but almost everybody here, it's using the drive.
Yeah, the kibble.
The kibble, because it's also easy to transport it. And we have no big places, so we have no infrastructure like frozen or freezers and so to have the meat. So it's the easy way to feed the dogs.
Yeah, and in this weather, the dogs all have really thick coats and are, you know, pretty thick animals. They're not like skinny hound dogs or anything. They're well-mannered, well-maintained, and they're beautiful. I mean, they're reminding me of my dogs. They're all jumping up on us and hugging us and licking us. And, you know, they're very playful and they get along with each other. It's pretty cool to watch.
So, Hugh, you were telling us a little bit about the kennel setup. How is the kennel setup in relation to ours? Do they use the tethers? Do they use the chain link kennels? What are they using there?
Mostly just chain link kennels. Some folks tether, but these guys prefer to do the chain link kennel. And I don't think we've talked about this yet either, Robert, but you got to realize that Tony is a police officer as well, so he's a, what we call a renaissance man. And he's got a new baby on the way. He already has a small child and a wife that puts up with him. But that's the magic of being a musher. You got to have the support system, or else guys like him and Marcel wouldn't be able to do what they do.
Of course. It sounds like just like everywhere in the world. If the wife doesn't support you, you have a heck of a time.
That's it, man. That's it.
How's the weather here, Robert? We're talking to, what's that?
How is the weather in Alaska right now?
Right here, it's about 45 degrees today. So beautiful day, a little overcast. Things are starting to freeze up. So hopefully before too long, the lakes and things will be frozen and we can get out on the trails. And hope we have some snow down here maybe by Halloween or first week of November.
Yeah, well, my game plan is I get back on the 17th and I plan on loading up the dogs and heading for the top of the world highway and doing some camping, because I think a lot of people focus on training, but as I explained in my presentation, especially with older dogs, they just want to travel and explore. So it's good to get a good early season runs in, but you know, dogs are wanting to get out and see different sites, and I'm definitely juiced up to get home and run some dogs after hanging out with these guys and my friends in Germany. The last couple of days, I was at a seminar, and, you know, I was in Switzerland, so it's been cool to see dogs from all over the place.
So, Hugh, how are you getting around? Are you driving primarily, taking the train, planes, what?
I've been jogging everywhere, actually.
So you jog from Germany to France?
Yeah. No, I've been primarily flying. Even though Tony keeps his dogs up in the mountains, he lives in Barcelona. So he was kind enough to come and get me at the airport. And my buddy Bert-Jan Elfring's here from the Netherlands. So he and I will be flying back after my show on Wednesday. We fly back to the Netherlands to his kennel. He's got really cool Canadian Eskimo dogs. And then we're going to be getting some of his dogs, and then we drive down to just outside of Hamburg, Germany, to do the race, the Dryland Championships, this weekend. So, you know, I've got, the beauty of Facebook is I've got friends all over the world, and it's all through the love of dogs, and they all know they're welcome to come visit me anytime, and I'll have a dog team for them to play on for a little bit. And that's what dog busting should be about. I always try to explain that it's not about me and how great I am or what type of dog whisperer you are as a musher and what you've won or what place you've come in. It's about us and what we can do to help each other out so we all have a good time. Because if we're not going to be helping each other out, then there's no real future for, you know, our sport or the lifestyle that we're lucky to live.
So, Hugh, we have just a few minutes left here. Tell us about your presentation this year in Europe. I know it's very similar to what you do in the past, but is this your first time to Spain?
Oh yeah, man, of course. I mean, how many Alaskan mushers make it to Spain? Not many.
Right, and, right.
These guys, I think they're as amazed that an Alaskan is here as much as a dog musher. And I just try to explain to them it's all about the love. It's all about taking your positive energy and you know, letting that shine through your dog's eyes. And the racing's fun, competition and all that sort of stuff. But I've raced for so many years and seen so many people sort of lose who they are because they're all about, their image and winning this or doing that instead of just, you know, enjoying the moment and getting out there and playing with your dogs. And that's the beauty. I mean,
right.
I knew what the issue was going to be with the Spanish mushers is, if you know anything about the Spanish, they're a very passionate people, and they remind me of myself with dogs, is you got to learn how to control that energy and learn to let the dogs just do their thing. But it's the passion that I've really enjoyed in my visit here so far, because you can see it in their love of their dogs. It's like they cannot stop playing with them and petting them. They really appreciate what they have.
Okay, so Hugh, I have one last question. Before we go, you mentioned that that one of these guys has a boxer. They aren't running the boxer and the sled dog team, are they?
Go ahead. Tell me about your boy.
No. It is actually my wife's dog, and I just bring him with me because she's pregnant now. But no.
What's his name?
Drac, but it's with A, not with U. And C in the AVA. It's Dragon. Dragon in my language.
Dragon
in Catalan. No. Dragon in Catalan. But no at all. He likes running very much, but not on the harnesses.
Yeah, Tony told me a great story. So, you know, typical musher, Robert, it's his wife's birthday, and for a birthday present, he gives his wife a dog. Isn't that great?
Of course, yes.
And actually, yes. Actually, what she said was, I didn't need it, but thank you.
Yep, sounds like a musher family, doesn't it, Hugh?
Yeah, oh, yeah, they're great people, and I really appreciate you letting us do this, Robert. I know it's a hassle for us to get a hold of you, but, you know, I think people are really fascinated that people are mushing dogs all over the world now. It just shows you what a beautiful sport we have.
It does, and, you know, once we figured out this whole Skype thing, I think we're good. So now wherever you travel, if you do have that Skype account, I think we're going to be good, and you can host shows all over the world.
All right, well, we're going to enjoy a few cervezas for you tonight, Robert.
Very good. Well, Hugh, well, first off, it was great talking to you guys up there in Spain. I really appreciate it. I love talking to people from
Catalonia.
What's that?
We're in Catalonia, which is a special part of the Spanish entity. Catalonian people are very proud of who they are, and they've been sure to let me know about that.
That's it. Very good. Well, good talking with you guys. Hugh, I'll see you when you get back, and we'll chat, okay?
All right, Robert. I got some dogs ready for you whenever you need them.
Excellent. All right, Hugh, safe travel. Right. We'll talk again soon.
All right, peace, man.
Bye, goodbye.
Goodbye.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything.